Finding Our Way Home. That's Wilson on ABC Mid-North, North Coast and ABC Coffs Coast. Good morning. Well, an area of study which I'm finding fascinating to learn more about, and that is the relationship between the stars and space and the indigenous population. Just how do they use the stars? Did they use it to navigate? Did they use it in their dreamtime stories and song lines? We're about to find out. My next guest will be the special guest speaker tonight at a special stargazing event at Sand Crocs Reserve in Port Macquarie. And he offers a really interesting perspective on the topic. My guest is Robert Fuller. Robert, good morning.
Thanks very much, Cameron. Nice to be here.
You have had a fascinating life, and you continue to stretch the boundaries in terms of your research and your PhD that you're in the moment submitting. But we might just go back a bit in time to actually how you came to Australia in the first place. Just tell me a little bit about your potted life story.
Okay, here's a short one. Well, basically, I did an undergraduate degree in anthropology. I grew up on the east coast of the United States, and the Vietnam War came along, and I ended up becoming a military pilot for 11 years. And of those 11 years, about the last three, I spent flying Hercules with the RAF here at Richmond outside of Sydney. Met my wife there, and we went back to the U.S. for a short while and decided I was born in the wrong country, so we came back to Sydney, and I've been there ever since, and I worked in the defense industry for a Swedish company for many years, and I'd been interested in astronomy most of my life and became a serious amateur astronomer probably the last 20 years or so. And when I retired, I was actually president of our astronomy club, and I got a couple of speakers in who were talking about Aboriginal astronomy, and those two people, Ray Norris from CSIRO and Dwayne Homaker, who's now down at Melbourne Uni, have since been my supervisors. They convinced me to do an MPhil at Macquarie, and I did some research on the Uwaliye and Gomeroi people from north central New South Wales and their astronomy, and that led to a PhD at New South Wales, where I am now, and that's on the astronomy and song lines of the saltwater Aboriginal people of the New South Wales coast. So I've been driving up and down the coast for the last 3 years, talking to people and yarning, learning their stories and learning how that connects to astronomy and their song lines.
And what have you learned?
Well, I've learned that there's a big difference between people's knowledge in areas away from the coast and on the coast. And one of the big things that I've learned is that people were disrupted by colonization on the coast, particularly the closer to Sydney you got. And a lot of times stories were lost and knowledge was lost because people were moved off of their country. And once they left their country, they lost their stories as well. But there's still knowledge buried away there. And it's just a case of talking to people and putting things together. And a good example is songlines. Now, songlines are very well known out in central Australia. You know, we have the Seven Sisters songline, which was brought down to Canberra as an exhibition a couple of years ago. But not much is known about songlines along the coast. And working with elders up and down the coast, particularly the south coast, I've been able to put together something called the Black Duck Songline, which runs from down in Victoria around Gippsland and all the way up to Sydney, we know. But beyond that, we've had to make a lot of guesses. And I say we, that's people I'm working with and me. And we think that the songline might come up the coast through here, through Port Macquarie or Warhope, and go all the way up to Byron Bay, and then go back west again, following a songline that we do know about that goes from Byron Bay to Alice Springs, and then dip down to Narran Lakes out near Walgett, where there's a story about black ducks, go all the way down to the Snowy Mountains, where that story finishes up, and then down the Snowy River back down to Gippsland again. So it makes a circle. And one of the things that's interesting is that one of the elders said he was told that the black duck songline was like a duck egg. And if you look at it on the map, well, it looks a little bit like a duck egg. So that's the kind of knowledge that comes out of this work, and it's interesting, but it's not ever ending.
No. So a songline, essentially, is that a journey or a pathway?
A songline has a number of uses, but the main purpose of it was to trace a route of travel by one of the creators, one of the creators who created the land, because of, in most Aboriginal cultural understanding, you know, before the creators came, Earth was just flat, and the sky was lying on it, and there was nothing happening. And the creators came along, and the rainbow serpent is one example, and they created the land by moving around on it. And these paths that they took were called songlines. And the purpose of the songline was to basically celebrate the story. So you went from point to point on the songline, and each point you sang part of the song. And we think, my other researchers and me, that encoded in these songs is also the directions to the next point on the songline. And I also learned from Gilroy Michael Anderson, who's a Uwali cultural man, that they used patterns of stars on the winter sky to teach people how to walk on a songline. And they didn't use the stars for navigation when they were walking, because they walked in the daytime mostly, and the stars were different in the summer anyway. But they used them as a memory aid. So the person teaching the person would be pointing to these stars, and each star would be one point on the songline. And of course, this was before I understood what songlines really were, and I asked Michael, you know, how did they learn it? He said, well, of course, they sang it, you dummy. It's a songline. And so they learned to sing the route, and that gave them their instructions for walking it. And of course, singing it also sings up the story as well, so it preserves the songline. That's what Aboriginal people believe.
Well, they have an oral tradition. It's not written down, is it?
No, and that's, of course, why it's so very difficult to recover this knowledge, because you have to find people who were told this when they were usually very, very young by older people who were aware of their culture. But the songlines are more important than just celebrating the creators. They were also their walking routes as well. So they were trade routes, and there were routes to go to find resources, a lot of different things.
Mm.
And of course, you know, those same songlines today, we drive them every day, because when the Europeans came here, oftentimes they were being guided by Aboriginal people, and the Aboriginal people would follow the songlines across the country, and of course the explorers would go back and report these routes, and then people would send the drovers out there, and eventually that would become a dirt road, eventually becomes part of the national highway network. So we think that a lot of the national highways are actually old songlines.
Wow. So I take it that in your research, you know, there's not a lot of documented evidence that's out there. You're really having to pick information from a variety of sources, and as you say, do primary research yourself.
Yeah, or use the research of others. A good example is the Black Duck songline. We knew that there was a songline, but we didn't know if there was a story connected to it. And one of my participants, who is an Aboriginal person from down in Nowra, Darwal, had been doing rock art research in Royal National Park for many years, and he found a series of engravings out there which tell a story. That story is well known in the Northern Territory in Central Australia, called the Wagalog Sisters. But what was interesting is where the two sisters were engraved on the rock, they had duck features. In other words, they had a duck bill, and the other had webbed feet. And we believe that the story was connected to the songline. And that could very well be how it was connected to the sky, because they are also believed to have gone to the Seven Sisters in the sky after they left the earth.
My guest this morning is Robert Fuller. He is studying or about to submit his PhD into astronomy and the songlines of the saltwater people of the east coast of Australia. He's here in Port Macquarie for a special stargazing event at Sandcrocks Reserve tonight, where he'll be talking about this connection between Indigenous people and astronomy. Now, Robert, you're saying that you are you got interested in astronomy at a young age, and that's followed you through. What is it about astronomy that drew you in?
Well, I think I always had a bit of a scientific bent, but I didn't have the maths to do physics or astrophysics, and ended up in anthropology. But that love of space and the sky seemed to always follow me, and it just sort of morphed together into this interest in Aboriginal astronomy when the time came, I guess. I certainly wouldn't have guessed I'd be doing this when I was coming up on retirement.
No, well, I suppose when you look at your career working in defence and the whole concept of what that is, you know, defence, you flew, as you say, in military conflicts and so forth. So do you find that, given that in your retirement you've decided to pursue this humanistic course of study, that you're kind of reconciling the books?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have an expression, you can tell, obviously, I came from the United States. We have an expression of somebody called a bleeding heart liberal. And these days, liberals more with a big L over here. But I've always had that sort of humanistic approach to things, even though for various reasons I ended up maybe on the dark side for a number of years. And it wasn't too hard to come back to it. I always felt like I owed something. And even doing this work, a lot of it is involved in giving back, which is simply what I'm doing up here in Port, talking to people. And we did a documentary about the astronomy of the Iwale and Gamoroi people called Star Stories of the Dreaming, which is available on YouTube. And I'm hoping to do another documentary about astronomy and songlines on the coast here as well as part of the giving back.
Right, okay. So tonight, what will you be talking about?
Well, pretty much what we just talked about in this interview, really looking at sort of a little background on Aboriginal culture, then leading into how Aboriginal people were and are scientists, their approach to observation and theory and confirming those things, and then looking at how that all connects to astronomy, and then how the astronomy is connected to songlines.
And when do you hope to have those that PhD marked and back in your hot little hand?
Well, it's with the reviewers right now, so maybe in the next month or two I'll hear something, and won't make a big difference to what I'm doing, but it's always nice to sort of complete one phase of things.
And then I'll be able to call you Dr. Fuller.
Well, as I say to so many people, that and $4.50 buys you a cup of coffee. So I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, I am interested in this documentary that you might be working on, and as you say, the further research, because I've lived here for 20 years, and I haven't spoken to anyone about this subject up till now, you know. And so when it suddenly realised that there was somebody doing this work, drawing those threads together and connections, it sort of put a piece that was missing in the puzzle back together.
Yeah, well, there's actually about 7 or 8 of us in Australia working in this field. It's not I went to a conference a couple of years ago in Spain where most of the cultural astronomers, and that's what basically my title is, it's a cultural astronomer, got together, and I think we would have been hard-pressed to put 50 people together in a room from the entire world field of this. So it's a fairly small field, but on the other hand, the work that's been going on here in Australia is being recognized as being quite important and quite significant, because Aboriginal people in Australia were clearly the world's first astronomers. I mean, we're waiting on some dating on a solar observatory down near Geelong that may be up to 11,000 years old. And if that's the case, well, that's long before the Egyptians or anybody else ever built things to observe the sky. So, you know, it's quite important that knowledge get out, and that what knowledge is still around is basically recovered and put to good use in educating people, because, you know, we're sitting on this vast wealth of cultural knowledge from all those millennia of Aboriginal people living in peace and harmony here in Australia, And we shouldn't let it go. I mean, song lines in themselves are very, very significant. They're the best sort of description of a First Peoples way of traveling that we have in the world. And, you know, that's very important, and we're trying to get that out there so people understand it.
Well, I thank you for helping us do that this morning. It's just really fascinating hearing the work that you've been doing and the song lines. So just repeating, you're here, you're in Port Macquarie for the stargazing event. Tanya Brown is with Charles Sturt University. Tanya, you've been sitting quietly here listening to the conversation, and tonight it all happens at about 4:30.
Yes, so Sky Stories will run from 5 till 8 p.m. at Sandcrox Reserve. And there'll be lots for families to do. They'll be welcomed by Uncle Bill, and our Auntie Rhonda will have her choir there, adding some cultural elements to the night. And then Robert will speak, and there'll be sausage sizzle. There is a scavenger hunt for people of all ages to participate in. If people want to get prepared with their technology, they can bring a telescope, or there will be lots of telescopes there to view the moon, Jupiter and Saturn tonight. But there are lots of constellation apps that you can get for your phones, and also a QR reader, and kids can participate with modern science in this scavenger hunt, but we'll have ways that people can participate with their more traditional methods of 2 feet and a heartbeat and their eyes.
Indeed. Well, look, I think you've got a good night for it. The sky will be clear. We've got a big yellow moon last night. I'm assuming he'll show his face, or she. So it'll be a beautiful evening to do some stargazing. So I thank Robert. Thank you again for coming in.
Welcome.
All the best for tonight. Lovely to meet you. And also for Tanya from Charles Sturt University. Thank you for coming in this morning as well.
Thank you very much.
Tanya Brown, and we had Robert Fuller talking about the song lines and the cultural astronomy. It's 14 to 10. You're listening to ABC North Coast, ABC Mid North, and ABC Coffs Coast. And up next, all I can say is we're going to roll out the big cheese.